The main invitation for today is to see if we can enjoy ourselves in meditation. And interestingly enough, that might be a new feature that we bring to the idea of meditation. So the invitation here is to do what's helpful, what's skillful, maybe what's joyful, or what's pleasant, or comfortable. Yeah. And really try things or not. You know, it's up to you. Yeah. If you don't want to try things, that's fine. If you want to do what you're used to doing, that's great. If that's what feels right for you. I just want to say a few words about posture. So we talked about this idea yesterday about the body being the nearest bit of nature to us. And one of the senses we can have towards the body, the common one might be, this is my body, and my body can handle it. I'll, you know, put it in a posture that I want it to be in, or I've seen, you know, on a photo of this is what a meditator looks like. But maybe there could be a different relationship, yeah. It's like this bit of nature doesn't belong to me. But it's something I can enjoy, something I can appreciate, something I can look after. And so hopefully, in the way we select our meditation posture, it's like having a friendly relationship with the body. Yeah. And so with a friendly relationship, you know, at certain times you say, hey, come on, you know, let's do something a little bit difficult. But it's out of friendship, yeah. It's out of like, well, let's see if you can stay really quite quiet, quite still. Yeah, not going to respond to your every, oh, come on, move me, you know, request. But at the same time, we're going to make sure this feels healthy and wholesome for the body, you know, the way we're placing this posture. We don't want any injuries to come from our meditation practice, yeah. So not overstretching the knees, you know, not doing anything that feels really unsupportive. Another general point around posture is that, you know, this kind of cross-legged posture that's quite famous for meditation. Its name is Sukhasana. I don't know if you know this word, Sukha, happiness, pleasurableness, the enjoyable aspect of experience, yeah. So it was named that because it felt good for people, you know, at the time when that name was given. It's about 2,000 years ago. So if you sit in that posture and the body says, ah, Sukhasana, I'm in the posture of happiness, then that's a good posture for you. If you're a bit more like me and you sit in a chair and you think, ah, Sukhasana, yeah, so that's the good posture for you. Yeah. And there's no way I can tell you what's your good posture. Yeah. But just think about that. That's something where you sit there and the body feels supported. It feels able to root down and rest. But it also feels kind of alive. Yeah. So I like to sit on a chair with like a slant in the chair and my back away from the back of the chair. And it kind of feels like it's got everything that I want in there. I've got this kind of roll in the hips so that the belly space opens. Yeah. And in that roll and the belly opens, my shoulders naturally kind of come into a better alignment. Yeah. You know, that hunched over posture has a compressed belly. Yeah. But give that belly some space and it's like, oh, the chest opens. And there's like a, nice. I can breathe more freely. I can feel, you know, almost like feel or imagine space in the heart there. And I can feel also that the head now feels better balanced over the rest of the body. And then the feet, well placed on the ground, feel grounded. So, yeah, that's a Sukhasana right there. Yeah. And then within that, we then can start playing around a little bit. It's like, oh, am I leaning a little bit to the left, to the right, forwards, backwards, just making those micro adjustments. And then suddenly, sometimes you just feel like, no, that's really nice. That's a nice position. Just stay in there. rest into that. So if you're new to meditation practice, then it might take some time to get used to these positions. And we can kind of stretch out the amount of time that we can rest in stillness and steadiness. Yeah. And so if you need to move, then, you know, just sometimes you have to watch out. Sometimes it's just the mind demanding, oh, come on, just move, do that. And then we'll move a bit. And then it'd be like, no, move back. You know, so we have to watch out that the mind sometimes gets busy. But at other times, yeah, it's the right time to move. So maybe just kind of like, I'll move in 5 seconds and just check. Okay. And then when we move, imagine like we're having a continuity of mindfulness through that. Almost like there's a spider's thread, you know, really thin connection. And we just move between without letting that break. Move into the new posture and then settle into that one. Yeah. But more or less, whatever posture you're in, just make sure that the knees are below the hips, that the hips are kind of above the knees. Right? That really supports that opening out in the belly. Let that chin come above the chest. Shoulders rolled up and back down. And see if you can find a place that's easy to rest into. Okay, so that's a few words about posture. I'm going to say a little bit about what we're going to be practicing. Then we'll jump in and have a period of time for practice. And then we'll open out into some time for questions. Or you can go off and do your walking practice if you prefer at that point. So, you know, make yourself comfortable now. And if you want to, then you can change posture or have a little stretch before we go into the practice. So, things I'm going to say today are more or less building on or even maybe slightly repeating what we touched on yesterday in the talk. So, there's always something we can do. Yeah. It's also inevitable that we're adding something onto experience. Yeah. There isn't a neutral place to be. There isn't really a neutral way to be. Yeah. And because of that, the invitation today is make it a little bit more enjoyable. So what's enjoyable? Yeah, maybe a long breath is enjoyable. Maybe relaxing the body is enjoyable. Maybe centering the awareness in the heart or somewhere else. Maybe widening the listening. Yeah. Also, our general concept around what meditation is. Yeah, the quality of listening to life. Listening to what's going on. And something you will have noticed about listening is that there are many ways to listen. Yeah. In fact, there's always a way of listening when you listen to something. And that's really significant. So in terms of listening practice, we might be listening to the breath. We might be listening to the body sensations. We might be listening to the sounds in the environment. And just choosing where you want your attention to be. Yeah. And, you know, some of the time I might be talking about, you know, as if we're all listening to our breath. But if you're listening to sounds, you know, just try and translate that across, allow that to have its meaning. Yeah, it's relevant. Or if I'm talking about listening to sounds and, you know, that sounds good, it sounds useful, and you're into, you know, doing more something like the breath and body sensations, then maybe can we allow that to be translated for you? So, oh yeah, do that with the breath, do that with the body. Okay, so you're free to pick the area of attention that's useful for you. And then follow that, what's calling you there? Yeah. So we already talked about shaping the experience for what's more enjoyable, and that might be seem a bit strange, you know. Many times when we talk about these things, we sometimes hear the feedback, well, I thought we were supposed to watch the breath without changing it. Yeah, so in certain circles we say that, right? It's a game of intentions. It's an intentional game. Like, it's not a silly instruction, we're not saying that. But it is also impossible, yeah, to actually watch the breath without changing it. But the direction of that instruction is actually very delightful if you've tried it, yeah. Trying to attain the subtlety, the sensitivity to watch with care so that we don't change the experience. You know, sometimes we say it's like not scaring a bird away. Yeah, if you're watching a bird in that way, it's oh, you've seen it before it's seen you. A rare moment in bird life. Yeah, you say, oh, just watching it. There's that intensity and that stillness. But when we're talking about the breath or sounds, it's actually changing them, right? It's different. It's already different. Another one, another description of practice. It's like practicing like you've got a feather in the palm of the hand. Yeah. Do you know this? You know, bring your attention like the quality you need to hold a feather in the palm of your hand. You could hold too tight and crush the feather, or you could be too loose, tip the hand over, not hold it there. Again, it's this beautiful sensibility. And one of its beauty is it brings the whole team together, yeah? Body, heart, mind, attention, awareness, a good atmosphere of kindness. Yeah, all comes together. There's a very similar idea in listening to sounds. Maybe you've heard about kind of listening to sounds without the label. So this pitch, this vibration appears, and we resist the urge to say, car horn, ah, bird song, ah. So that we inquire, what's underneath that? What is this? This vibration, this arising and passing. There's an interesting change in our experience when we embrace things in this way. Even a certain greater potential of release. Yeah? It's welcomed to arise. It's just vibrations. It's allowed to be here. Yeah? It's not preferred or rejected. Yeah? It's, oh, I don't like car horns, I do like bird songs. Yeah? And then we also let them go. Something softens in there, and something is a little bit more enjoyable. Yeah, it's like what would be the alternative to block, to reject, to grasp onto? All of which make no sense and really don't lead to enjoyment. Just vibrations, just sensations. So we can see there are different ways that we can relate to experience, and they start to shape experience differently. And what we'd say is this is the dependently originating nature of an experience. It depends on how we meet them, depends on what we bring. Yeah, so the invitation then is to play creatively in this field. So we spoke yesterday about easing the fight or flight, yeah, sympathetic nervous system into the rest and digest of the parasympathetic nervous system. And one of the ways we can do that is longer breaths. Actually feel kind of a deep nourishment in the breath. And when we talk about longer breaths, you might want to go beyond the anatomy. Yeah, maybe the long breath actually comes into the belly or into the hips, even all the way down the legs or down the back of the body. So really feel free to be creative with what you can imagine, where the breath can go. Again, if we're listening to the sounds, if we can just be less demanding for anything from them. Welcome to be here, to appear and disappear. What's interesting here is as we open the space, it supports intimacy. Open the space and you can actually support more intimacy. So see if that happens, and with that maybe more peace, maybe more joy or some kind of well-being. What does open the space mean? Maybe we listen to more distant sounds or more quieter sounds. Or maybe it's when the breath gets more subtle. It's invited to take up more space, but it starts to move more quietly, more subtly. Can we allow our attention to get more refined? Yeah. Get subtle with it. So we can still attend, still show up. Because what it comes down to is any experience is a phenomena, could be a breath, could be a sound, could be a thought. It's a phenomena of contact and it's met in an atmosphere. What's that atmosphere going to be for you? It could be welcoming, it could be appreciation. Because it could be, maybe that's good, maybe that's helpful. So that's kind of speaking about, you know, the subtler end of things. Maybe for some of us that's already really accessible. And for others, it's going to be slightly different. Maybe there's more agitation in the system. Maybe there's a lot of busyness in the mind. Yeah. And so we don't need to worry about that, yeah? But we can be appropriate to that also. Something I like to do when my mind is busy is include a little bit of counting. And I call this practice intimacy counting. Yeah. So my main interest is actually being intimate with, say, like the breath sensations, riding the breath, feeling that in-breath come in, noticing then the breaths all the way in, and riding that breath all the way out. But something that stops my mind from wandering too far away is I know that I'm trying to count how many breaths I'm doing. So at the moment where I notice that the breath seems to be all the way out, I count one. And then I say, okay, remember you're on one. But now get ready for the first moments of that in-breath to come in. Oh, here they come. And then I'm with that in-breath. And I'm with the stillness. And then occasionally I just have to remind myself, okay, so this is one. This is the first breath still, yeah. So, okay. And then the out-breath's going, and I get to the end. And, okay, where was I? And so I've got this little task going on I'm mainly with the intimacy. And I said, okay, two. Now we're going back again, right? In-breaths are coming. Great, here they come. Let's try and be with all of them as much as we can in an enjoyable way. Right, so that appreciation is there. Softness in the body. I'm not getting tight and tense, but I'm also not forgetting this is the two breath, and here come the out breaths. Ding, there they go, and three. Yeah. So it's mostly the attentions with the intimacy. The counting is just there, because you know otherwise my mind will go off and do shopping lists and you know. Oh, you forgot to put that on the notice board. And okay, thank you. I'll deal with these later. So I have this little game, and it starts. You don't have to do it all the way through. What you'll notice is it starts to build a habit, a steadiness in the mind. Yeah, and then it can be like, oh, I'm going to drop that now. It's getting in the way. Yeah. Or no, I need more of it. I need more counts. Yeah. You can do all kinds of things with this simple formula. You can. You know, have a count on the moment of the in-breath is all the way in, and on the out-breath all the way out, or wherever you want to place it. So you can be creative and start to steady the mind. Yeah. But even with all the best intentions, yeah, we're still going to get lost in past and future thinking. Yeah, we're still going to get a wandering mind. And why is that? Because minds are meant to wander. That's why, you know, and then meditation turns up and says, I almost had a good meditation, but my mind wandered. So of course it did. Yeah, that's what minds do. Birds sing, minds wander. Apple trees make apples. So the meditator's mind wanders. And also, you know, there's a lot that's going on. Habits don't stop when we stop. Yeah? So if we have a habit of having a mind that wanders, goes to the past is still having its impacts, yeah. Plans for the future, they're still unfinished. There's a lot for the mind to work on. It doesn't understand, you know, oh, you've gone into that cross-legged thing. So is that when I stop? Yeah, okay, so I'll stop and be quiet for a while. Okay, it's difficult to find that. Relationship, yeah. Also the weather really affects us. Yeah, so many things are not in our control. The noises in your environment will affect you. How you slept last night, yeah, will affect you. If there's stress in the being, yeah, just following a few breaths doesn't necessarily make it disappear. It will pass in time. Yeah. But actually noticing it isn't a break. There's no break in the mind, yeah, like in a car, break. Bring it to stillness. Right? Funnily enough, pushing a brake actually causes more agitation in the mind. The key here is not to accelerate. Just resist that urge. Yeah. Ah, just let things settle. Let things settle. While we're talking a little bit about the mind and thinking, so don't try and get rid of present moment thinking, certainly not for today. Right? This is actually discernment. It's like, oh, I'm leaning forwards. Like, stop it, be quiet, mind. So no, maybe you want to adjust that. Oh, I'm really leaning forwards and now I'm leaning back. I feel back in that center. So, oh, belly's really tight. Great, thank you. Okay, let's release that. Soften that. Try this, a little less of that. It's all useful responses from the mind. But as much as we can, seeing if today we can just drop the future and past thinking, yeah, for now, because it's helpful to do that. It's helpful to imagine there's only now. And in fact, life is only now, right? What we can do with experience is only now. We can adopt that lens, it can be helpful. Something more about distractions. It's really helpful to notice that moment when we notice we've been distracted or we've been wandering, Yeah, we've drifted away from the meditation's intention. Right? This is actually a moment of being found. Right? It's kind of the first moment of freedom. And we don't want to waste that. It's like, ah, found, present, whole team together. Fantastic. We've got all the possibilities now that we're unified. Now I'm present, I can soften again. Oh, great. I like softening. Or I can open. Yeah, open that belly, open the chest, open the heart. Whatever wants to open can be invited to open. Or in that more space, make more space, get more intimate. Yeah. So remembering those moments are the moments of being found, the moments of possibilities, and really embracing that. Because unfortunately, sometimes we kind of shoot down the messenger and focus on, oh no, I was lost again. I'm rubbish at this, you know. Just in the very moment when we're actually back and present and life is full of possibilities. Yeah. So it's remembering the patience, remembering the playfulness, remembering the positivity as much as we can. You're actually doing really well. And so if you want steadiness in the practice, it does require a certain degree of this positivity. Yeah. It's like, oh, this is a moment I could relax in. And relaxing the body, but perhaps also relaxing, allowing in the mind. This moment is okay. It's good enough. I'm gonna explore it, yeah. Often this stress of wanting more from life. Yeah, my practice should be better. My concentration should be better. You know, this should be that, you know. There shouldn't be so many sounds, then I'd be practically awake by now. Yeah. But actually this moment, there's the possibility of some unification. Got the whole team together. Maybe we can be a little more comfortable, a little more pleasant. If we sense there's something we could do, can we just do it? Give it a go, give it a try. Just the last couple of points before we get into the practice. Have you ever noticed that the present breath can actually be a pleasant breath? Yeah, this present breath right now could be pleasurable because of the way we breathe it. And that might mean the depth, the rhythm, where it goes to. It might also just mean the way we pay attention to it. Kindness, it's like inviting the breath into the body. Or pay attention to the nourishment of the breath. Paying attention to the breath is also a moment of unification. Yeah? It's the attention to these sensations in the body, the mind, heart, body, all together. There's a certain delight, there's a certain release of stress in that. Yeah? And just think, what would it be nice? How would be a nice breath to breathe? And remember, this is a recommended practice of the Buddha, yeah? Breathing matters, how we breathe matters. Accidental bell. If we can breathe like we're calm, what does that bring into being? Yeah. breathe deeply like we're calm. We can also do that with our listening. Breathe in ways that don't bring so many demands on experience. We can listen in ways that don't bring so much demand on our experience. And listening to the more quiet sounds. Or listening to the more distant sounds. Trying to meet all of the sounds with kindness and care. So let's jump into a period of practice. If you need a little stretch before we do that, feel free. Just begin grounding into the practice, grounding into the body, finding our seat, finding our location. Feeling that uprightness of the posture. Points of contact, feeling where the body touches the earth, feeling where the body touches itself. In this moment, noticing there's a body, whole body here. Whole body unfolding in awareness. Maybe we can extend that to feeling the space around the body. And then within that space, just feeling the presence, the movement of the breath, inviting it to be comfortable, inviting it to be longer, deeper, smoother, slower. Whatever feels could be enjoyable. And if we're in the field of sounds, notice the arising and passing of sounds from stillness and silence to vibration and away again. Just letting the field of listening be quite open. As much as possible, free of preference for one sound or another. And of course, if the mind wanders, you can just bring that friendliness, kindness, as we come back. I'm not rushing this. Slowly, maybe we just spend a moment just to relax any pressure, any tension that's built up. Again, expand the attention to more of the body, wider field of sounds. Remember, we can do those intimacy countings if that's helpful. If the mind is wandering a lot, certainly don't evaluate yourself according to how much the mind is concentrated or wandering. But more have a sense of what matters is how we meet this. That's what matters. That intention of metta, kindness, friendliness. A mind that wanders is much more helpful, a much more beautiful cultivation in the world than the steadiness we might be aiming and evaluating on. So lots of opportunities for kindness with a wandering mind. But yeah, try the counting of the breaths, it might be helpful. Let's see if we can be with the entirety of a breath. What would it take? To be with quite a few seconds of listening without wandering away. And it's not high intensity. It's actually an adjustment. Sometimes bringing the intensity of attention up, sometimes letting it drop down. Letting the attention be appropriate to what we're meeting. The dance of attention can be quite enjoyable. In the breath, for example, really letting it rise when there's no movement between the in and out breath. You start to notice, oh, there is movement there. And then letting it soften, almost fade out completely when there's the movement. Yeah, the mind follows that part of the breath. And then we let it rise up again. if the mind wanders away or you find yourself coming back from some distraction anytime, just acknowledging this, but without evaluating oneself. Oh, the mind wandered away. Now we're present. The opportunity again to soften any areas of tension, any locations of holding, like the face. Maybe the face around the eyes can soften, and the jaw. Maybe there's some leaning forwards or leaning backwards going on. We just take our time. It's really no rush. We're already present. Yeah, there isn't some other present to get to. Relaxing the shoulders. Relaxing the belly. And from that relaxed uprightness, can we, if we're listening to sounds, let that listening just spread out from here. And if we're breathing, if we can just invite the breath, maybe it wants to slow down a little. Maybe it wants to be long. Just inviting, encouraging, certainly not demanding. We pay attention in this way, seeing if there's possible to feel a sense of appreciation, to be able to sense a breath, to be able to sense sounds, even if some of those sounds are unpleasant. Isn't it wonderful to be able to listen to experience? And it's certainly a certain degree of delightful or beautiful that there's something here at all. And that these vibrations become sensations or sounds. Maybe for a while we'll just meet them as that, as sensations or vibrations. as we come into the last few minutes of this session together, just feeling what would be helpful for you, what would be enjoyable, or the most enjoyable way to practice. Can you do that? You feel allowed to do that. And just for this last minute, seeing if you're in the body and breath sense, just letting that whole body come into sensitivity. Just seeing if that felt sense of the body can just brighten a little bit. As the breath flows through the whole of the body there. Flowing in any way that feels helpful. And if we're listening to sounds, just opening wider sensitivity to the more distant sounds, to the more quiet sounds. Opening intimacy and sensitivity, including more. In a moment I'll ring the bell, but really feeling encouraged just to stay in any cultivated space. You don't need to rush out just because the bell rings. The beauties of meditation practice is that we don't need to come all the way out at the end of a session and can sustain the cultivated qualities that we built up there. Maybe they want to come with us into the walking period, or you're going to stick around into the question and answers, question and responses session. And so I just want to point out a few ways that we can use some of the same ideas in our walking practice that we have here. So it's kind of a little review, but also translation to the walking. Yeah. So there's always a way of relating, there's always a way of listening to experience which is shaping how it unfolds. And this is equally true in the walking. Yeah. The way we walk, the way we listen to the walking, shape the experience. Yeah. So can we have a sense of softness and playfulness in the walking, yeah, so that it's enjoyable? We mentioned yesterday this idea of, you know, getting a little robotic or rigid in our walking practice, and maybe we want to bring a little bit more the feeling of dance or of coming to life in the walking. Yeah. And so it's a sense of patience and playfulness as we engage with this really quite beautiful practice. Yeah. As we said, many insights come in the walking practice, and so it would be a shame if we didn't engage with those and harvest the insights which are waiting to be picked, yeah, waiting to be seen. And so insights, ways of seeing, ways of relating to experience that bring a sense of freedom. Understandings, yeah, that open experience. Again, in the walking, as with the sitting here or standing or whatever you were doing in stillness, building up over time so the intimacy is maybe more important, yeah, than the amount of steps that you're able to pay attention to. So if we're doing a line of walking, has about 10 steps in it, if we can be really present for one step, like really present, that would be great. Yeah. Or maybe, you know, we can build up over time, be 3 steps in a row, I was really there. Yeah. And give yourself some time off for the other 7 or so steps. Yeah. And then maybe after a few days of practice, you know, we'll get up to, you know, I can do 7 steps in a row. Yeah. Or maybe all the way eventually. But if we start off saying, no, I have to be present for every single step, you might feel a lot of pressure build up. Yeah. A lot of future time builds up. You know, all the way from here to there without missing a beat, you know. 1 step at a time. Maybe 1 step at a line is enough, yeah, really meeting it, really getting to know it, so that we can actually enjoy the beauty of simplicity. Yeah. All I'm doing right now is walking, and that's complex enough, yeah, once you start to pay attention to it. There's a lot going on when we're knowing we're walking, knowing we're alive, being responsive to that. Mentioned it yesterday, I just repeat it again as the last point for this. It's like walking from something enjoyable to something enjoyable. Yeah. Like a view, a plant, a painting, anything. Yeah. Even if you have to move your location around a little bit, or, you know, reimagine your walking path. And seeing what supports you. And spending some time with it. Yeah. Actually enjoying it. Appreciating it. And then hopefully also enjoying and appreciating walking. Yeah. So I'm aware in myself and in others that we might already be thinking, yeah, that sounds good, but I think I'll go and have a cup of tea and have a, you know, sit down somewhere and do something else. Yeah. So that's also okay. But do some of the walking. Yeah. Do some of it. There's something precious here, and it takes a little bit of discipline, it takes a little bit of dedication. You know, one of the ideas we can have with practice is that we're inflating a balloon of delight. And we were doing it in the sitting here. And then the temptation is like, now I'm just going to... Some interesting typing going on here. Going to let go of that balloon, yeah. Or it can be this sense that I'm going to sustain it, going to bring it with me to the walking. Yeah, I'm going to bring that steadiness across. And then I'm going to do this practice, still with that same atmosphere and attitude. Okay, so that's as far as I can go with advertising walking meditation. But I hope you feel interested to do a little bit. We'll have some time now for some questions and responses from Zara and myself. There's a lot we still haven't touched upon that I think, you know, hopefully they'll come up in the questions if they're relevant. So really feel encouraged to ask any question at all. Of course, there's no such thing as a foolish question or a silly question. There probably are such things as foolish and silly answers, and they may also appear, but I'm sure your questions will actually be delightful and beautiful, and I look forward to hearing them. So we'll just have a moment for transition, so those who wish to leave, and then we'll open up and you can use the chat or unmute yourself for that.